The reading is from Colossians chapter 1, and we're starting at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you to the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Amen.
Father, we thank you for that word and for the amazing work that Jesus did on the cross for us. And thank you that we have that word, and we pray that it will go into our hearts. And we pray for Jeff as he speaks, as he just explains more to us and helps us to understand. We pray that each one here will hear from you today, and that you will use that word to change each one of us more like Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Chris. Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you again. It's good to be asked to share the word this morning. It's a great privilege for me. I always say the same thing, but it is. I just love to preach God's word. I love to worship God, don't you? Isn't it wonderful to be at this place, at this time, in this church, in this morning, and receive that type of uplifting worship? I hope you feel the same, but it gets me to such a place, doesn't it, you? It lifts us up, doesn't it, when we sing our faith, the words that we're saying, the words that we're singing, the tune that we're singing it to, we get lifted, we get opened up. I hope you do, because it works then, you know, you're open to God's word, you're open to his spirit a bit more than we sometimes are in our normal lives. It's great to worship. You've got a great ministry, guys. Thank you so much for the worship so far this morning. We've got the letter to the Colossians, which we're looking through. We've only covered 21 verses, mine 29 verses in chapter 1. There's a lot more to come. It's a fantastic letter written by Paul. But if you had to choose what the theme of it is, what's the one word within it that you could say that's the nub of the letter, the theme of Colossians, could be summed up in one word: Jesus. Jesus. Simply Jesus. 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 Jesus, nothing but Jesus, Paul is saying. Nothing but Jesus. His supremacy, who he is. His sufficiency, what he's done. His supremacy, who he is. His God's only son, born of a virgin. The miracle man, the miracle worker, died and was risen. The supremacy of Jesus and the sufficiency of Jesus. We don't need anyone else. Who he is and what he's done. The book, the letter, rather, of Colossians. Do you know him? Well, I imagine you do. Do you need to know him more? Do you know that he has all the power that you need for all the problems that you face? Really? Yes, really. Absolutely. But it doesn't always feel like that. Well, no, it's because we expect other things, I think. Other powers and earthly things. It's in the dark times, is it not? In the dark times of your experience that God has shone a light, has been powerful, has been strong in your life, in the bad times and the good. But God is our rescuer. He comes to save us. Do you know him? Do you know that in him you have all the power you need for all the problems you face in this world? Do you know him? I heard a story about an impoverished farmer living in the southern states of America, Texas, I think it was, on a dry and barren land. Here's his family, bless them. In the 30s, the Dust Bowl area of America, eking out a living on a dry and dusty land. Could hardly make his crops grow. There was hardly any rain. There was far too many insects and things ruining what he was trying to achieve. He was barely alive as a family. One day, a petrochemical company arrived on his land and they asked him for permission to drill a hole in his land. And he hesitated. Well, you know, you get used to the way you live. And he didn't want any disruption. It was too much bother, too much hassle. And he couldn't be bothered with it all. And he wasn't sure. I don't know if you're... I hope you're not living impoverished lives and you're quite happy to carry on like that. But anyway, he allowed them to drill the hole in the end. And guess what? Black gold spurted from beneath the surface. And the point of the story basically is this, that we live impoverished lives sometimes, not recognizing, not realizing that just below the surface, there's a wealth of goodness, a golden treasure waiting to be connected to, just below the surface. Impoverished lives. I hope not. I don't suppose so. Not all the time. Sometimes, maybe impoverished spiritually, I mean. Impoverished spiritually. Sometimes, when bad things happen, when things come against us, when the darkness enfolds us, yes, we're human, of course. But there is a power. Verse 26 of this passage is powerful. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. That's those who believe in Christ. Not perfect people, the saints. Ordinary people who believe in the extraordinary power of God to help them in their lives. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations is now revealed, disclosed in Christ Jesus to the saints. The secret message of God is that there is a glorious riches waiting to be found. Do you know him? Do you know him? Have you experienced him? Have you received him? Are you walking with him? Are you praying to him? Are you opening up your scriptures about him? Are you building your faith on him? Christ alone. Christ alone. One theme in Colossians. Jesus. Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my strength. He is my power. He is the one that I'm going to be saved by when I die. I'm going to go to heaven with him. I'm going to fly with him on wings like angels. I'm going to receive from him the full inheritance of a son of God, a child of God. Are you? Do you believe? Are you struggling on a land that's dry and barren? I hope not. Paul writes to encourage the church to strengthen their faith in Jesus. Strengthen their faith in Jesus. They were believers. They'd been converted. They were born again Christians, Gentiles, living in Colossae. So they were established believers, but there was heresies coming into the church. There was false prophets attacking the beliefs of the Christians in that church at that time. Syncretism, paganism, some forms of Judaism, some Greek and Roman thought that came in. Later became known as Gnosticism, Gnostics, who were saying, he was a good man, he was a powerful man, a charismatic figure, he put a few miracles, but he wasn't God. Come on now, he wasn't God, he was a spirit. False prophets who were trying to steer the church away from the belief they'd received through Paul. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns us, beware of false prophets. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets. And remember that Satan, the devil, is a false prophet. He will turn you away. He will pull you apart. He will say, no, that's not right. That can't be right. That's crazy. That's far too much glory to give one man. Satan will say to you, you're not really a Christian. Look at you. Look what you do. Look how you are. Look at the things you think about. I don't know if you ever get attacked like that. Not nice, because you know. But you're saved by grace. And the devil doesn't want you to know that. False prophets. Who says that the Bible is not relevant today? We have so many false prophets surrounding us. Be careful today. All sorts of things. People especially saying, yeah, he was a nice man. He was a good man. But come on. The one we follow is God in Christ Jesus. Only he can bring us through to full salvation. That our sins will be forgiven and not be reminded of them all the time as the devil would do. That God would take those sins away from us. That the element of our lives that is not right, that dishonors him, would be taken away by God. As far as from the east is from the west, God would not remind you. We have to walk with that every day. Repentance and forgiveness in Christ Jesus all the time, so that we can have the connection with God. Who says the Bible is not relevant? Because it's relevant today. Very relevant. We are surrounded by all sorts of things coming against us. Paul is writing specifically to tell them that although there's many philosophies and ideas out there on the street, we don't need any other philosophy or wisdom. when we have Jesus. All we need is him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the resurrection. He is the vine. He is the gate. He is the bread of life. He is the good shepherd who goes after the lost sheep. He is the light that shines in our darkness and keeps us safe on the road of life. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you need to know him more? Do you need to grow in him? Do you need to believe in him more? Do you need the faith that comes with acceptance? Just believe, Jesus said. There is a mystery, but that mystery is revealed now in Christ Jesus. Do you know him? Or are you tempted to follow other ways? It's so easy to go in other ways. So what does Paul encourage them to do in order to have more faith? I've got three thoughts for you this morning. You'll be surprised about that. Three thoughts. Remember who you were. Remember who you are. And remember who you're meant to be. Let's go with the first one. Remember who you are. No. Remember who you were. Remember who you were. Verse 21. Once you were alienated. Helen flagged that up this morning very well. Once you were alienated from God. Separated, that means. Separated from him. God, it's a terrible thing to be an atheist. That's a black and dark place to be. It not to have God in your life. To be alienated, to be separated from God. We don't stand a chance without God. You were alienated from God. Were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Paul is very, very tough on them here, isn't he? Alienated from God. But he's not reminding them in order to shame them or to remind them, but to help them see how much better it is now than it was then. How much better it is now that you have Christ than it was then. Remember what you were. You were alienated. You were lost in the darkness. When I was a little kid, we came into our home, one of the greatest things of my childhood, a black and white television. Now that's telling you how old I am. Here we are. That's not us. A black and white television. We were about the last family in our road to get a TV anyway, but we finally got one. Have we got a picture of the television? There she is. Lovely. Little black and white television, 9-inch screen. You had to clip a magnifying thing on the front of the screen to make the picture bigger. And that was yellow. I can remember it to this day. It was the greatest thing that ever came into our house as we as children. We loved it. I used to come down in the morning. I used to kiss it. I know it's very sad. It's very sad. A very strange childhood, I can tell you. I used to kiss it. I worshipped it. It was a wonderful thing. We used to put it on. It wasn't on very much in those days. We used to get Liberace at 2 o'clock in Saturday afternoon. Sunday afternoon, rather. Liberace, yeah. We used to get Muffin the Mule. Am I on my own here? I don't think so. I know I am speaking to a very minority group in the church now. But they were glory days. They were glory days. They really were. I Love Lucy. One of the American shows. Black and white telly, 9-inch screen, and it was the greatest. About 5 years later, my dad got a colour telly. Finally, they made it to colour television, and we got a colour television. Wow. Did I want that black and white telly anymore? No. I didn't want it. I didn't need it. I had a colour television. It was glorious. It was like a miracle. It was unbelievable. It opened up a whole new thing. Remember who you were. Remember who you are. Would I want to go back to black and white? Would I want to go back to being alienated from God? Would I want to go back to those days? I was fine before I knew. I was fine before I knew what colour was like. Christianity did for me, and does it do for you? Turns my world upside down and fills it with colour and life and joy and excitement. Just like that colour television did. I didn't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to go back there. Of course not. I'd be crazy. No, Paul's not reminding them, asking them to remember what they were like as people. It's good to remember that we're what we were before Christ, in the sense of being grateful for what we have now. You know, it reminds us of the benefits of the Christian life that I didn't have then. The church, the worship, the people, the fellowship. Of course, but basically, just keep in mind what it was like before you knew Jesus, before you knew Christ. We don't want to go back. We don't want to live in the past. The past is past. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost. Come with me, go with me. And now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank you. I can always rely on you, can't I, to do that? Thank you. I just love singing, don't you? I just love to express my faith in words and song. It's wonderful. No condemnation now. Reconciled, holy, without blemish. Really? Yeah, absolutely. In Christ, not in you. In Christ. Paul has been encouraging him here. Remember who you are now. Reconciled, without a blemish, free from accusation. He's reminding them that their status now in Christ is to be a child of God. What is your identity in Christ? What is your identity? Christ in you. Christ in us. Remember who you were in order to know where you are, how good it is to be here. And remember who you're meant to be. If you continue in your faith, verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from that hope, held out in the gospel. You have one job. Continue in your faith. Continue in your faith. Strengthen your faith. Develop your faith. Nurture your faith. Paul wrote in Philippians 3 verse 12, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. It's been one of my sort of bylines of scripture. All my Christian life. But I press on. I don't give up. I don't fall down. I don't turn back. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. He took hold of me because he loves me and he wanted a new life for me. He wanted me to live in colour, not in black and white. But he didn't just take hold of me for me, that he might, the whole world might know, that my family might know, that my kids might know. We have one job: continue in your faith. Own it, treasure it, nurture it, grow it, be strong in it. Do not give up. It's the most precious thing. It's a pearl of great price. You know, Jesus tells that parable, Matthew 13:44. We haven't got it on the screen. He sold everything once he'd found it in order to own it. Came across a pearl of great price and dug it up. Oh no, he paid for it. He worked hard and got it. Bought it. Gave up everything in order to own it. Verse 26. Let's look at that and I'll finish. The word of God in all its fullness. Jesus. The word of God in all its fullness. Do you know him? Do you know him? The mystery that has been hidden, kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know him? Do you need him? Do you need to get back to him? How are we doing? How are we doing this morning? There'd be an opportunity for you to respond to this message if you wish to, if you need to. And I would emphasize, do not go from this place. If you really feel moved by anything I might have said that would bring you closer to God, respond to him. Respond to what he has been saying to you and how you feel about him. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's the only one. Don't be like that sharecropper living an impoverished life of black and white. Come to Jesus. He is the very source of life. The hidden mystery of God is revealed. His name is Jesus. Verse 28. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. You see, Paul desperately wanted his congregations to grow in Christ, to be mature in him, to become perfect, if you like. Sanctification, growing gradually into that likeness that is Jesus Christ himself. Remember where you are. And remember where you're meant to be. Who you're meant to be. That's me done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your message this morning. Thank you for the thoughts you've given me. I pray that you, by the Holy Spirit, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. As the band comes up, as we start to worship again, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to fill us, stimulate us, raise us, lift us, Lord, as we sing these songs. Please, Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.